It is hard to say right now what we're going to be facing. In the next few months, in the next few years.
Yep.
But I'm going with the way I feel and what's going to happen. See, because, you know, years earlier, we had all of the forest fires. Like in California. They're burning houses and everything. And since then we've seen some rain come and they've flooded out the neighborhoods and places. But that's not gonna happen. And during the catching away of the church, because we have that promise that we can look at when he places it there in the sky, and that is the rainbow. That is a covenant that he's given everyone. And as long as it's in rainbow, we're going to be all right. But I think if Nick, you know, I said before even, I said last year, even before that, I said that the next event that will take place would be the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, since then, we have seen where the Lord has started pruning his churches, getting all the dead weight out. Because you know it's people in church that's not saved. And when you have people in church that's not saved, and they come, and they end up coming more than really the regular members. But the Lord, he knows he has to purge the church and get all the dead weight out before he can really go forward and toward the tribulation period. We're not going through the tribulation. We're not going to go through the first week of it, the first day of it. But until then, I believe the next thing that he has on his mind until he comes back after us we see it here in John chapter 20 verses 19 through 31, we see where John is talking, Thomas is talking, and the disciples is talking. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he is also talking. But the risen Christ is the master of our services today. And if we go by anything else, then we're not healed. We have to go by this word. You don't go by what I say. Don't go by what the deacon says. Don't go by what everybody else says. But what this word right here says, this is what everything relates to. It relates to this, the Word of God that only the Lord Jesus Christ it speaks of, but we don't have it all. We don't have it all because in the book of Revelation, I think it's the first chapter, or maybe the second or third chapter, I don't know which, but it speaks about the Word of God, the way He had pinned down, and He had allowed the angels there in heaven to pin down the Word of God. And when it was pinned down the way God wanted it, then He allowed something to happen then. And what that was, that He took the Word of God, one book, the Word of God, and He settled it there in heaven. He locked it behind the key. He's the only one that had the key. And He allowed things to happen where Jesus would understand it. Because, and as I've had people ask me, said, well, you say that, says we don't have the whole Word of God. The book of Revelation says no. The book of Revelation says that we could not contain it. I forgot what somebody put something about it, talking about the books of the Bible and what the Word of God said back then and what Jesus, what the Father had put there in heaven to where He would bring it back up to His Son one day. And it's talking about so many different things here in the Word of God. Chapter 20 of John, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. You know, we can look at these verses that I'm going to be reading here, and we can see where the Lord Jesus Christ, when He's speaking, and Thomas is speaking and everything, but you know, Thomas has not heard that much in the Word of God. He's heard one other time, and that's in the book of Acts. But Thomas, what did they call him? He was a doubting Thomas. Why? Because he had his followers. He had his pastor, I would say, that was leading and guiding him and teaching him what the Father wanted him to know. And with that in mind, we see where the very first thing was, well, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. We have a whole lot of people today that used to be in church, and I'm almost positive, I ain't gonna say all, but it's a good chance that majority of them probably saved. And they got saved in church. But what's the first thing that they're missing? They're missing right here, the peace be unto you. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to the disciple Thomas. Thomas, you know, he won't be there because he had followed the Lord Jesus and he had followed his pastor and his teaching and things back then. But yeah, when it come right down to it, when the Lord Jesus Christ, when he went to Calvary, and when he hung on the cross there, and he was buried there for 3 days, and the third day he came forth, conquering death, hell, and the grave. But Thomas, he wasn't there. He wasn't there when the Jews was gathering together to go after the disciples here. That's where the disciples was confused. And they was feared. Had fear in their heart. Do we know anybody today that has any kind of fear in the heart? No, I don't. They don't feel God no more. They don't fear. But they better realize they will fear one day. But it says right there, and it said, verse 20 says, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hand and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Now this is the other disciples. Thomas wasn't with them at this time because he got jealous or whatever, I don't know, but he had some preachers call a pooch mouth and everything. He just so sad and everything, he couldn't stand to be around the Lord Jesus. He couldn't stand to be around the other disciples because he did not have somebody there to help him and to be with him and lead and guide and direct his life. Because Thomas, he depended on the Lord Jesus Christ 100%. And in thinking about that now, yes, we need to have fear in the Lord. And we need to believe everything he says in the Word of God. But it's also our teaching too that we must teach other people that they should not miss church. They should not miss the introduction or nothing like that. But it says right here, it says, Thomas the man that missed church. Thomas. He missed church. Why did he miss church? The same reason today. People miss church. They go around and somebody's hurt their feelings. And they've got hurt. But you have never seen where even Thomas himself did not even blame God for any of this. And I tell you, the next time somebody says something to you, if you invite them to church, or if they ain't church and they're not no more, and they come back and they gave you, that the reason I don't go back to church is because it's nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. I had a Sunday school teacher one time tell me, he said, well, and we was talking to a lady, and I mean, he was just plain blunt. If you said it and he understood it, he'd always come back and say, well, what about you? Do you go to the grocery store? She said, yeah. Do you go to the beauty parlor? She said, yeah. Do you just go out and shop? Yeah. She said, don't you think that you're around a bunch of hypocrites then? See? And he says, one thing about the hypocrite that you're speaking about that's in church, I can say one thing. They are closer to God than you are. They're closer to God than you are. We're going to be looking at some things, and I'm trying to get to these verses here, about what Thomas did miss. And what Thomas missed just didn't stop there. It went on. And it went on and on and on for years. Just like today. Going on today. In some churches, Jesus is never recognized. We don't even recognize him. I mean, honestly, and I know this ain't, and this is just a saying, but if Paul, Timothy, John the Baptist, and Luke, Matthew, and all of them Thomas, if they all come in and they come in to the back door back there, and we open the door and we let them in, and we see that, well, 14 people. What would we do? What would we do if we had that many people show up? First of all, we'd say, well, I miss seeing you, Jesus. Well, see, here was the other disciples, the other 11 disciples that was there in the upper room. And the Lord Jesus Christ came and he walked right through the wall. He didn't go through no door. The reason he didn't go through no door is because he don't go through a literal door on an individual. He goes to a heart's door. And sometimes we'll crack it, and if we crack that door, yeah, that gives him a way in. But then we have to understand what he's talking about. We have to understand that he's speaking to me. And only me. He's speaking to you. And only you. He's speaking to somebody overseas. He's speaking to them. And only them. That's the way the Lord Jesus works. That's the way that he has come about. And had all of this around. Verse 19, it says right up here that the disciples were assembled in God's house, offered fellowship to them, God's help will offer comfort and support for them. God's house will offer inspiration. God's house will motivate you in his work. In spite of their fear, they were at least assembled. If they was assembled, Thomas won't back. Thomas missed all of that. Thomas missed a whole lot. We got family that misses a whole lot. We have a brother that he says he's saved. But he hadn't been to church probably 30, 40 years. I don't see how. And somebody could, and they could show me the Bible and help me understand that. An individual can be saved and never darken his doors. I don't understand that. Because once you get saved, and what that word saved means is love. You're in love with somebody. You're in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're in love with His work. You're in love with His house. You're in love in what He wants you to do for Him. See, because the Lord Jesus Christ is not coming back. He's not going to come back to this earth and walk on this earth anymore and go out here and witness to people like He did back then. And then go into the places of businesses and everything. And then they just cast in that garment and they just gambling away everything. And somebody asked me, said, I ain't never read no way in the Bible. Just said that Jesus ever got mad. I said, well, you ain't read my Bible, because it speaks of Jesus when He walked into that home or where was that, and there was an ass casting coins and everything for the cloak of the individuals there. Other words, there was gambling away their attire, their what they was wearing. They was gambling it away. And the Lord Jesus Christ walked in on them. They didn't recognize the Lord Jesus Christ back then. And He walked in on them. But do you think He went up there and said anything to them? No. Uh-uh. The only thing the Lord Jesus Christ done, and He showed it with emotion, with action, and that's what we should do. But He showed Him in picking up that chair and throwing that chair over to the corner, and picking up that table and throwing that table over to the corner. The Word of God tells us if we go to someone's house and they defy us and they don't, they say, no, I don't want to hear the Word of God. I don't want to hear anything at all about Jesus. You know what the Bible teaches us? That what we must do then? We must turn around and wipe it up off the sole of our feet. Why? Because they have degraded the Lord. They have misspoken. And they don't want to have anything at all to do with the Lord. And I talk to people who like that. I said, you mean you don't believe in the Lord? Nope, sure not. I said, well, man, I tell you what, you got more faith than I got. You got more faith than I got. To not to believe in the Lord and say that He's going to be fine. That's not the way to live. That was not the way we were brought up to live. That wasn't the way that God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ were brought up to live that way. They were brought up to live with a clear conscience. And with the faith that only they can receive in Jesus Christ. Not only did Thomas miss the benediction, induction, and he missed the sweet fellowship that the other disciples was having among themselves. And then when the Lord Jesus Christ, when he just dropped by and come on in, didn't open no door, didn't turn a wall on him, but he come on in. Don't you think them disciples had time? I do. I really do. I believe the disciples had a time. And the thing about that, everything that the Lord wanted his disciples to have is the same identical thing that he wants his children to have. Now I'm talking about his children now. I'm not talking about the ones that just straggling along. Because I'm going to tell you, and I believe this with all my heart, if an individual, whether it's a church, or the home, or the place of business, or wherever, if they give their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to them through the power of the Holy Spirit, then I will say this, that as long as God allows his son to speak, his son is going to speak to us. You know how his son speaks to me? Through the Word of God. He don't speak to me orally. He don't speak to me no other way. He speaks to me through the Word of God. And the Word of God will comfort me. The Word of God will comfort you. The Word of God will comfort your family. The Word of God will bring the people back to the first love. If they fell in love with Jesus when they got saved, if they fell in love, if they loved him any portion at all, they're unhappy. They're unhappy people today. They're miserable. And the only way they're going to ever get their joy back and their happiness back is just say, Lord, I'm going to be back in your house this week. Next time service is on, I'm going to be back. And I tell you, and if you, if the individual makes the first move, now I'm talking about the first move, I'm talking about in that one little step. You was all brought up and said, you know, they're counting the toes and everything. One little finger, two little finger, three
and all that. But that's as far as we have to, that's as far as we have to go. If he sees one toe, if he sees a hand out here, move, and we got it on our heart and our mind about moving to him. Man, there was another bread. They will come back in the house of the Lord where they left it long time ago. They will come back. They will come in, and the people here or the people there will shake their hands and welcome them. And not only them, they will turn around and welcome them back. But we gotta let people know, yes, they can have fellowship. They can have fellowship with the Lord. They can have fellowship with us. But when they have fellowship, true fellowship, come back to God. I believe that they'll come back. I got some people right now I'm praying for. And I said something to the Lord here the other week. I said, Lord, you know the individuals I've been praying for. Some said they're saved and they've got a church, backslidden. Some are not saved. They don't want to talk about you at all. But I am asking you, Lord Jesus, just to back away from a little while. See, they know that you're there. And they see where you are putting other people first before yourself. It's not about me. The day that I got saved, from that day forward, nothing was ever about me. Why? I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. I know how I'm going to get that. But I'm not miserable. Oh yeah, sometimes the Lord, he don't answer prayer. He answers prayer, but he answers it in his own timetable. Because his clock does not go with that clock. And his days are not numbered like our days are. But do you see what Thomas meant? What Thomas meant? I don't know if I could be like Thomas or not. See, the only way I've walked with Jesus is where he just picked me up and he carried me on. He lifted me up and he was carrying me. He was toting me. But what we need to do, we need to pray and And then they may not be the best word to use. But we do. We need to brag about the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to brag about His church. We need to just brag about letting people know. Now, for the, you like my style of preaching or not? Still, we need to go out and tell people, come on down and try. Come on down. And they'll get something out of it. I mean, I know the whole message that I will preach or anything like that, or anybody else that will preach, that is not an individual that's gonna clamp on to the whole message. But there is something in every message that is for someone. But see, that's the reason God gathers people together. That's the reason God gave Satan permission to infect the whole world with the coronavirus. And not only that, now China has come up with something else. See, what they want to do, China and Russia, they want to do away with the United States of America. They want it to be a flat ground once again, like it was before the men come and sought out this land. And we need to thank the Lord. We need to thank Him every day, probably every hour, every minute too. We need to thank Him for allowing us to live in a free country. It's still free right now. I don't know how much longer it's going to be, which I don't think when that takes place, we're not going to be here. I won't be driving home. And I believe, you talk about the welcome committee. Ooh-wee. Lord have mercy. The welcome committee that's going to welcome us there at home in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ and the rest of our family and their family and stuff. And we're going to rejoice from then on. How long are we going to rejoice for? Forever. How long is forever? It's for eternity. How long is eternity? It's forever. Guess what? That individual said no to Jesus. Says, I don't want no part of you. And I don't believe nothing nobody tells me about you. What they don't realize, and we have probably failed the people on this point, that for that individual, once that individual dies, They're going to meet the Father. They're going to meet Him. And they think they're going to divide. The the saddest words in the Bible. And so when John, I mean Matthew chapter 7, I believe it is. Matthew chapter 7. And I'm going to turn down on really for what I want. Misquoted and unquoted. You misquoted. You're really taking the real meaning away from it. I know y'all probably know what I'm going to be reading, but it's in Matthew chapter 7, I believe it is. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, 22, and 23. I think these words right here are the saddest words that the Lord Jesus Christ could ever have pinned down by the Holy Spirit. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name done many wonders, wonderful works. Verse 23. And then will I, Jesus, because this is what he, this is Jesus speaking. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. I believe that the saddest words that the people is going to hear when they come face to face with Jesus, saddest word they'll hear. And then they're going to be cast into hell. Some people say, well, I'll be down there with my friend. Yeah, they'll be down there with my friend and everything. But they ain't going to know. Because they're going to be in such torment, such pain, and agony, and knowing it's deep and everything else. But the thing that I don't think we have ever shared with the people of that caliber, that to defy God and he's going to die and end up in hell. I don't think that we've ever told them is that how long are they going to be in agony where the fire is 24 hours a day, and it does not consume them. They just get the heat from it. Then the gnawing the teeth, and they got worms crawling on them. You know how long they gonna, you know how long they gonna be in that agony for eternity? They're gonna be there for eternity. They don't have no choice. Because those who rejected Jesus Christ, and he's the only way you can ever get to heaven, is accept him. They will spend in hell eternity. How long is eternity? Forever and forever and forever. So we need to start letting people know what they're missing now. What they're missing out. We need to tell the people. We need to tell them. Because it's our way and we don't want to want. I really need to tell them. But it could be another 10 years, another 25, 40, could be another 100 years. I don't know. But I know one thing, and I'm sure of this fact. As the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is closer today, then it will just today. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. And Father, we ask, Lord, this day that you will bless these people. These are some of your chosen people by you, Lord, to take a stand and to keep the doors open. And Lord, I pray that each one of the individuals that's here, when they meet up with somebody this week and they got some kind of hesitation about them or something, Lord, just help them to realize that all we have to do is just tell them what they're missing. And what they're missing is the peace of God. What they're missing is the love of God. And what they're missing is all the joy that we can muster up. Father, go with these fine people this day. And Lord, give them something special for thy effort this week. We pray this prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and his Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And then y'all want to come to the altar?